go here. You know, last summer it was so hot in Myrtle Beach. They finally convinced Kitty to get a fan in her office and air conditioning in the house. And
that's what she wrote, that she never realized how comfortable it was with a fan.
Yes.
Yeah. They should have done it years ago.
Mm.
Elizabeth has it installed for Baba in 1952, absolutely.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It when he if came back to Yukon Dunes, yes. Yes.
And we love to be in that room, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Baba Center with the men mandi, and then we call us four women, and we love to be with them. It was so nice and cool. And the moment he told us to go out, we like feel like we are entering a furnace. It was so hot. We never knew that Myrtle Beach could be so hot. We had no idea that in the West there would be such extremes of heat. All right, now where shall I start?
I think a lot of people here have never heard
first
anything
of all,
about
I'm not a great storyteller. So, my earliest recollection of seeing Baba was in 1922, when I was about 6 years old. And I was born in Patan, so very often my mother, Sarosh and Adi, were my mother's cousins. So my mother belonged to Ahmednagar, my father was from Quetta. And every once in a year she'd visit her parents' home here. So the train from Quetta stopped very early, quite dark, at about 4 o'clock in the morning at Dada's station. And just there was a walking distance to Manzil Ami. So I was very young. And I wasn't able to see my mother was whole, my father wasn't there, but one kid here and one kid there, and she was trying to walk fast, trying to make us jump over the railway lines and all. And I was very hesitant to walk so fast. So she said, if we are even 1 second late, Baba would just throw us out. He was in that kind of mood in those days. So anyway, it was just a glimpse of Baba, and that's just remain there. I can't tell you much, but I know that I saw and met Baba. That was my first impression. Then, in 1923, Baba visited with some of the Mandliyar home in Quetta. And my father had rented an apartment just next to ours, and Baba and the Mandli stayed there. All the food was just plain food, dal and rice and a vegetable. And that used to be sent over. And we would also all go and be with Baba and the Mandli. And we would all take our plates to Baba, and he would serve the food himself to us. And we enjoyed that. Then again, Baba visited our home in 24. And must have seen that picture, you know, where all the Mandli are there by a lake, by the side of a lake, and we as children are lifted, carried by some of the Mandli. There was myself and my younger sister Katie and my brother and my parents, everybody was there, and all the Mandli. In that picture, Baba is not there, only the Mandli is there.
Mm-hmm. Did he wear a headband?
Baba?
When, in those days in Quetta, when you saw him? There's some photos of him when he has his band.
Then they look like those Alibaba and 40 Thieves. That picture. All of them had that and that gongri. That's when they were walking.
Hmm.
My father's brother, he was the one who took all those pictures, photographs.
Hmm.
He was very interested. He took lots of photographs. You've seen the one, Baba has that huge, long overcoat. That's behind, in a lane behind our house.
Isn't it very short?
Then, in Ahmednagar, where the trust office is, where Bhau stays, where Adi's office used to be, where the registration office is, it used to be a joint family, you know, like most of the Jews who live together. So the Iranis also stayed together, all the cousins and uncles and aunts and great grandparents and everybody. And it was also my mother's maternal home, so she would also come down. And that used to give us many opportunities of seeing Baba there, because he would visit where Adi's parents were. The registration office, that whole line, is the place where Adi and his brother Rustam and Freni, and who was Mehra's older sister, they used to live in that part of the, where the trust office is, where my mother's sister used to stay. And the other part where Bhau stays is where Vilu and Sarosh lived with their children and their family. Baba would always visit the part where Gulmai, Adi's mother, and Adi stayed. And it was Baba was so quick, like lightning in those days. He'd get off the vehicles, go through all the rooms, the veranda. If he saw us children, you know, he'd just pet us or something and then go back quickly. But he didn't visit the other part of the house, because Sarosh's father was did not approve of Baba, and he was very much against Baba. So in those early years, when Baba was in Mehrabad, I don't think Mehrabad was established then, but Gulma and others would go in a tonga. So they would take us children also to see Baba, and that also gave us a further opportunity of being with Baba, seeing him. When we returned home, Sarosh's father, you know, he was very cunning, so he would ask the children, where did you, where have you been? And we'd say we went to Angav and we met Mel Baba. So we'd have a good fight with his family, not talk to them and all. In spite of that, Sarosh was at Manzil Amin. So those are the early days. So naturally we were schooling in Quetta. And you see, Quetta being a cold country, we used to, our school holidays were from 15th December to 15th March. So my mother would send a few, we were seven children. No family planning in those days. So she couldn't handle us all. So she'd send a couple of us, you know, with friends or somebody down here to Amarnath. We were most happy to be here. And so when was it when Baba first went to Europe?
31
was it? So before going to the West, he came to Quetta and stayed at our house for 1 month with some of the men, Mandali. I don't remember who they were, but I remember Chanji was there, Afsari was there. There was a young Irani boy. And I don't remember who else was with him. But this time Baba stayed with the Mandali in our own house. And of course he'd never use a bed, he'd always sleep on the floor on a mattress. And we would be going to school, coming back. Baba was very much interested in, take interest in us, all the children. So before going to school, we'd go into his room and just say that we're going to school. And Baba would say, yes, you look very smart in your uniforms. Or when we went to Girl Scouts, we'd be in our uniforms, and then Baba would ask us questions as to what you've been doing. And so he would take personal interest. In the evenings, he'd call us into his room and play games with us, cards or carom. And
would you read the board yourself, or would Chanji be there? And
I thought we would read it ourselves because Baba would go very slow. Very slowly with us.
In what language was it?
He did both Gujarati and English. When he conversed with us, you know, it would be a mixture of both the languages. Even though, all the time throughout also. And my father had a very large business. It was a British military station then. India wasn't divided yet. He had a restaurant, a toy shop, a jewelry shop, a bar, a billiard. What was it?
Clock?
Yes. That was his hobby, clocks and all, you know. Perfume. In those days, everything was imported. Nothing was made. Even biscuits were not made in India. Chocolates were not made. Everything was imported. So much came from England. So many things came from Germany, France, all everything. I mean, toys came from Germany, from England. And I remember during, just before Christmas, you know, big crates of toys would come. And my father and my uncle would sit up all night and try and open them and, you know, put out all the toys. And we'd have a jolly good time in there, playing with those toys. So, Baba must have casually... This I heard later, but Baba must have casually told my parents that he wanted my father to sell off his business and leave Quetta and go and settle elsewhere. And Baba said, I will help you. And now my father had already established himself for the last 25 years there. His business was doing very well, and he didn't take what Baba said very seriously. So after that, Baba left for England, and maybe soon after that, or a few months later, the business wasn't. We started getting earthquake shocks, tremors. And there was a time when we had to, at 3 in the morning, we had all had to run out of our house and go take shelter in another, out on the streets we were on. And the business didn't start, and, no, what happened then?
Mother's game, are you?
Oh. So, after several months, maybe, my mother, she had a dream that she saw a bearded, gray-haired person, bearded, elderly person, come to her and tell her that, I've been waiting for you to leave Quetta. I want to destroy Quetta. And she got so, she just woke up and was very frightened. She called, woke up my father and she said, see, Baba had told us to leave Quetta and we didn't take it seriously. I had this dream and Baba's come again. I feel it is Baba only who's come to warn us. And now we must be very serious about it. And we, as little children, in those days Baba was known as Sadguru, the perfect master. And on our altar was a picture of Zoroaster, by the side of Zoroaster, a picture of Baba. The very early one in which he's looking up. And we were always made to say our prayers in front of Baba's picture and in front of Zoroaster's picture. So, soon after that, then they thought, it is time that we tried to sell off the business. So what they did was to send us, all the children, down to my aunt's place in Ahmednagar. Shouldn't the whole business piecemeal, you know. And was just able to bring a little furniture, a few belongings in a wagon to Ahmednagar. Later I heard that when Baba was there at our house, I was about 14 then. Baba asked my mother, how many children you have? And she said, 7. Then Baba said, you have only 5 children. Two of your children belong to God. They're not yours. And my mother said, all right, maybe they'll die. Years later, we realized that Katie and I were destined to come to Baba, and he had chosen us then, so we were with Baba. And many years later, my mother remembered these words. And when Katie and I both were with Baba, then she told my other sisters that this is what Baba had told her. And as late as that, she realized that, well, her children didn't die, but they came to Baba.
and also Baba said that these two belong to God and they are going to serve God all their lives.
Yes, at the same time then Baba asked, did he ask me or did he just say that? And he asked me what I was wanting to do in future. I don't think I said anything. But Baba said that he wanted me to become a medical doctor and that always stayed with me. And later, many years later, it was Baba who really educated me, because my parents couldn't afford, after coming from Quetta, they didn't have any money to educate us.
Even the people that owed your father money didn't pay him?
No, they didn't. Mm. Poor man. He would go from house to house, from shop to shop. Nobody paid him. And, I mean, there was nothing. And when he came to Ahmednagar, Sarosh had started to build the Sarosh Cinema in 1932. Mm. They vacated Quetta in 1932, maybe end of the year. And then he offered the canteen. He said, he told my father, why don't you build a canteen? And so that there'll be some livelihood for you. And my father was happy to take that over, and he built a nice bakery and a canteen. And it did well, whilst the British were here.
Then tell him what happened 2 years later. After the dream.
Yes, after. Yes, 2 years later, you know, there was a terrific earthquake in Quetta. About 45,000 lives were lost in one night. Yes. See, because of this continuous tremors, all the houses had become the foundation, and even the house where we were living, you see, the ceilings had, the walls had separated from the roofs, and there used to be big cracks and all. And in spite of that, people kept on living in those houses. And the moment that this, I mean, great earthquake, everybody, I mean, just happened in a few seconds. It didn't even give them time to escape from that house, because it happened about 2:30 or 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So all my school friends, all my other friends, I have nobody who's living.
Good gosh, they were all killed off?
All killed off from the days of Quetta.
But your family was safe? And
my whole family was safe. Mm-hmm. And naturally they had lived there for 25 years. They had a good relationship with the Zoroastrian community there. They were. So when my father informed them that he was selling off the business and going to Ahmednagar, they all called him a fool. He said, you've got such a good business, you've got a large family, and why do you listen to such a person as Mehr Baba? Who is he? He's just nobody, and why do you want to listen to him? So, and they were giving them, you know, send-off parties and all. So my father said, I'll be very happy if you all also leave Quetta, because I feel certain that something is going to happen. At least I'm leaving with my whole family, I don't care. But I'm advising you also to leave. But none of them would listen then. Nobody believed in Baba. Nobody believed in Baba then. There was so much opposition, especially amongst the Zoroastrian community.
What was your father's name again, Gandhar?
My father's name was Rustam.
Rustam.
My grandfather was Jahangir. He's the one who started, you know, in Karachi. My father's sister, Pilama, a very great follower and disciple of Baba. And she lived in Karachi all her life, a married woman, quite well-to-do, had 3 or 4 children. And she was very depressed because one of her younger brothers died of tuberculosis at the age of 22. And that she loved that brother very much, and after that she felt very depressed. So Gulmai told her, why don't you come to Maharaj? So before she knew Baba, so she took her to Maharaj. And Maharaj even named one of her children, giving him a Hindu name, which was not done in those days, you know. Baba said, you name your child Vitthal. Vitthal means an attribute of God, Vitthal, which she did. And once she saw in Baba's image in the picture of Zoroaster, and she knew that Baba was Zoroaster. And from that day, I mean, she just accepted Baba as God. And she was the one, and you know, she didn't fear. Like, I mean, she was very bold and wanted to tell everybody about Baba, that he's the perfect master, he's God, and she would thrust it on them. And yes, there are all these passes now. They said when Pilama was telling us, we were not listening, and now we're so sorry we missed seeing Baba. She was the first one who made these Baba buttons. And you see, she had to leave the Zoroastrian, you know, where she was living, there were many other Parsi families and others, so she had to leave there because they used to harass her so much.
All this was in Karachi.
Karachi. Mm-hmm. So she left, went and started living with the Sindhis, the other community there. And then she left Karachi altogether and came and lived with Baba in the ashram, two or three of her children, sometime in Nasik, and Baba had one of her sons worked with Rustam in the mortar works in Nasik.
Did she make those rings as well?
Yeah, those brass rings.
The little ones with Baba's picture.
The glass crystal.
Yeah.
And those black and rings too? Did she make those black?
No, those black ones were made by Norina.
Hmm.
Yeah. But these very early ones, you can look through that crystal and you see Baba's picture.
You have one,
picture.
You get one in. Yeah.
I had several, I gave them away. Karachi people used to call her mad, mad Pila, her name was Pila. So bola tata evanne, Tamil ko nahi orakta ni Pila maine. These people don't know her. Rhoda knows, no? She's the fastest. Rhoda Dubash.
What about her husband, Gavir? He
agreed with whatever she did, you know, was a quiet man, mm-hmm. A nice person, but she didn't interfere in mm-hmm. this.
Excuse me, Gohia, this was your sister that you're talking about?
No, my father's sister, my aunt. She was known as Pilamai, very famous for her temper and all that. In Karachi, the Parsi community would, you know, call her that she's crazy, she's a mad woman, and everything possible.
Yeah.
And then she left Karachi and stayed in Bombay with one of her sons. Later in Nasik, I think, with the Mehramani, all of them used to stay, and later in Mehrabad. And part of the part-time she would be with her children, part-time she would be with Baba, you know, if it was possible.
When did she die?
But she died after. I think she died after Baba dropped his body.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah?
If you look at it this side, the heart pointing to you,
to see Bobby's picture inside.
You mentioned that Baba taught you. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, that comes a little later. You see, when we came here, we had to go in Ahmednagar schools. Now, Ahmednagar did not have good teaching institutions there. No convent, no English medium school. There was just a Marathi teaching school, and all the subjects were taught in Marathi. No second language was either Persian or Sanskrit, and we were educated in a convent in Quetta, so naturally it was all English medium with French as the second language, and we were at that time doing the Cambridge, means from England, our exams. So I was in junior Cambridge, but because our English was so good, the schools accepted us here. But then we had to take tuitions to learn all, you know, the Marathi and the Persian, a second language. It was very difficult for us. But still we managed to get through the high school. Then that time I was about 17 by that time when I finished. My brother was with me. My older sister, poor thing, she was 19 then. So the family was in a hurry to get her married. No man of her choice. Somebody, Sarosh said, this person is very good. We naturally belong to Quetta. We didn't know anybody here. Mm. So Sarosh knew some people and said he's nice and rich and he's got a good business in Bombay. And told my parents and the family there, and poor thing, she was married off. Now I was left, and I wanted to study. But my mother said, no, we can't afford. And you have any time you will get married, so why should I waste my money on you? I have to educate my boys. So, at least for the first year, she sent me to Bombay, to a relative's house where I could stay and go to school. I went to St. Xavier's College and did my science course. Not having any money, I would starve all day, because living at somebody's house, I was very shy to ask for any food or lunch. I'd leave the house at 6 in the morning, go to the college and study and work. And I didn't even have 6 paisa to spend. The distance from the house to the college that I would walk to save, 6 paisa on the tramways or the bus. Then I would see all these other girls and boys eating, taking snacks from the canteen, and I was so hungry. But I couldn't afford that. So I was thinking of the time that at the same time, Baba was, the Mandli, was also living on just weak tea and, unknowingly I was doing the same thing. Then after finishing my 2 years in science, then my mother said, no, we won't educate you further. And, so, that time Baba was in Mahrabad. And I think my mother sent word that whether Baba sent for me, I don't remember that. But my parents and I, we went to see Baba at Mahrabad. And then my mother said, well, now she's about 18 or 19, whatever. She'll be getting married soon. So we don't want to educate her. So Baba said, you don't have to worry. She's mine. And I will see that she's being educated, and I will see that where she can stay in Bombay when she's being educated now. And that was the first time then Baba sent me over to Arnavaz's house. I never knew who the Dadachandis were. So Baba calls Chanji and tells him that she has to go to Arnavaz's parents' home and stay there for her studies and go to college from there. And that's how I started. Every 6 months I had to send in my report and my bill to Baba. And I was told to write him a letter every week. And of course obey all his orders, if they're very strict.
Like what?
Not being... I could be friends with men, mm-hmm. but not touch them, not be too friendly. That was the main order. And other orders as... and when he would send out a circular, keeping fast and all that.
What happened when you graduated? Yeah. If you want, you can continue next week.
Yes, during that time, then when I moved, Katie was still studying, you know, going to high school then, and she was with my parents. Then when I went to Bombay to study, do my medical, Baba called Katie to be with him on the blue bus tour. So from that time she left home, she was with Baba. And Baba had given me and Arnavas and all her, all the, you know, those who were attending schools and colleges, you see, we were, so Baba said that wherever I'm in India on the blue bus tour, you all can, during your holidays, you can come and join me. Mm-hmm. So whenever we had holidays, we would all rush, and that would crowd the blue bus and run.
Where did you meet up with the blue bus then? You must have had to travel some distances.
We met Baba in Jabalpur, Nagpur, Aurangabad, Ellora Caves and all those places. Then Khuldabad, where else was it? Bangalore, all these places. Mm. Not many. I couldn't go where Baba was further away, so because we got very short leave from school.
There weren't too many women getting their getting degrees in medicine at that time, were there? Hmm? There weren't very many women getting degrees in medicine at that time, I'm sure.
No, they were. With me, when I joined the medical school, we had over 100 boys, but we were 19 girls then.
That wasn't too bad. Yeah.
And we had very good teachers then. The standard is no good now, but at that time it was a very good standard. We were all trained from England. At that time we didn't know much of America. There was no, it seems that there was no connection with America during the time of the British then.
Yeah. We'll do part two next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you.